This is a very special day in the life of our congregation. We have the great privilege today to lay hands upon one of our brothers and ordain him as elder in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. When a man is called into office in the Church of the Lord Jesus, he's called for the rest of his life. When you were called to be a child of God, you were called to be a child of God for as long as you live. Insofar as Jesus has given you the gift of eternal life, that means eternally. That means forever that you're called to be a child of God from the time you were born again, forever. When you're called into the ministry, into a ministry, called into that for the rest of your life. I know that as God called me to proclaim His Word, the reason I didn't respond to that call quickly was I knew He meant for it to be for as long as I live. And it's not a kind of a decision that you make lightly. Thus it is with a man that's called to the office of elder in the Church of Jesus Christ. In the New Testament churches revealed in the Word of God, Paul said to Titus, who was his pastor on Crete, ordain elders in every city. Gather men that are full of the Holy Ghost and of wisdom, who are mature in the faith, and gather them together as elders for the purpose of exercising spiritual oversight over the flock unto which the Lord Jesus has given them charge. And that's the purpose for the calling to office of elder. That is to exercise spiritual oversight over the flock that belongs to Jesus Christ and to feed that flock. Now, the Word of God declares that office within the church of the Lord is not a position, but rather an opportunity for service. And I want to share just three verses of Scripture out of the book of Matthew, out of the 20th chapter. And many of you will remember this passage of Scripture where the sons of Zebedee, James and John, had been jockeying for position among the disciples. And in this particular instance, their mother had come to Jesus and said, "Would it be all right, Lord, if my two sons, one would sit on your right hand and one on your left, when you come into your kingdom?" And Jesus said in so many words, "You don't understand yet. Let me clarify it for you," beginning to read at the 25th verse. Jesus called them unto him and said, "Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. They that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. For whosoever would be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." The way to become great in the kingdom of God is to become less and less. The way to become of more importance unto God is to become less and less important to yourself. The way to find greatness in God's eternal kingdom is in service to one another. And when God calls men and women to places of service within the body of Jesus Christ, and He has called each and every one of you, if you're a child of God, He's called you to a place of service. And He says that he that would be great or chief among you, let him be your servant. That's the way it is within the body of Christ. Now the world would say that's backwards. But the Word of God says the world is backwards. Jesus had it right. Amen. Our brother Jim Mims has been called by the Holy Spirit through this congregation to the office of elder in the Water of Life Fellowship. And he's responded in the affirmative, and I'm going to ask Jim if he would come now. And we might set him apart. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Would you just kneel right here? Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I'm sure you can all recognize that this is an important day for Jimbo, but this is an important day for us too. Hallelujah. It's important to me. It's important to you. It's important to the church. It's important to the body of Christ. And I want you to know that it's important to our Lord and Savior Jesus also. This is not just some exercise we're going through here. This is in obedience to the Word of God. Jimbo, I want to ask you this in the presence of these witnesses here. Do you acknowledge the call of the Lord Jesus Christ on your life to this office of elder? Do you submit yourself to the Lord, acknowledging and receiving Him, knowing Him as your Lord and Savior and your Master? And do you promise to allow the Holy Spirit to guide you, to seek His will and direction in all the matters that affect the life of our church, and to obey Him in all that He instructs you? I want to ask you in the congregation, those of you that want to respond to this, would you please stand in the congregation? I'm going to ask you to participate by responding in the affirmative to these questions. You see, God is not just ordaining Jimbo today, but He is uniting us and him in a unique new way. And so there are some responsibilities that we have as a congregation. Do you receive this man as elder in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you do, respond, I do. Do you recognize his spiritual oversight over the church to be exercised in concert with the other elders and the pastor as the Holy Spirit of God leads? If so, answer, I do. Do you promise to pray for him and to minister to him as the opportunity provides itself and as the Spirit of the Lord leads you? All right, then let me ask the elders to come forward, all of the elders. If you will come forward now, please. Just gather around Jimbo, and we're going to lay hands upon him and set him apart. Glory to God. Praise God. In the congregation now, you just stretch your hand forth, if you will, as we pray. Just lay your hands upon Hallelujah. Our Father, by the laying on of hands, we set this brother apart. We sanctify him by the laying on of hands and by prayer under the calling of which he has been called. We pray, Father, that by your Spirit he will be found worthy of the vocation of wherewith he has been called, that you would anoint him with all wisdom and all spiritual understanding, that the eyes of his heart would be enlightened and open to the fullness of God's perfect will, that you would anoint him with power and wisdom in the Holy Ghost, and that your equipping would fall upon him right now, Father, for that great work into which you have called him and anointed him this day. We receive him, Father, as our brother into this labor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for the leading of your Holy Spirit in his life, bringing him to this point. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. We thank you, our Father, for the work that you're going to do through him to bring honor and glory and magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. For it's in his blessed name we pray. Yeah.
by God, according to your motions, I have set you apart. Thus saith the Lord thy God, Almighty, I have set you apart. Know that from this day forth, you will walk in my ways. Know that from this day forth, my gifts shall be offered in your worship. Know that from this day forth, seek my wisdom and it shall be given. Know that from this day forth, my end is a time to wait for you and never experience. Know from this day forth, I am your Lord thy God. You are my servant as you are my children. Walk in my way. Place your eyes upon my face. Follow me in all things. And I shall guide you in the paths that you know my God. I am the Lord thy God. My love and my joy I pray for
you.
Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Praise Jesus, wonderful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While all this loving's going on up here, is Conway been out here this morning? Jerry, maybe you could help me. Come, do you know how to turn this fan off over here? One of you? Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, let's why don't you just gather around here in a semicircle, if you will. This will be fine. Don, just come in here. I want to share some scripture. This is the group of men now that God has called through you to exercise spiritual oversight in the next year over this part of the body of Jesus Christ. And you know, I just thought it would be appropriate that not only would we install Jim this morning and Don Richards and Bruce Ofi as they serve again, but also these other four men, and that we recognize as the church the responsibility that we have to work together. Board and congregation, board praying for the congregation, congregation for the board, and that we are all doing the work of Jesus Christ together. So we're going to install them with the scripture, and I want to share this scripture. First of all, out of the book of 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, the words of the Apostle Peter. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. When the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And in the book of Acts, in the 20th chapter, Paul, in his farewell address to the elders of the church at Ephesus, said these words, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. God's word says that the Holy Ghost hath made these men overseers over this part of the body of Christ. I want to ask you as congregation, do you receive these men to function in the office of elder and as the board for this next year, 1979? If you do, just answer, I do. And do you as elders affirm that you will follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in all that you do, and that whatever he tells you to do, you will obey him? If so, answer, I do.
Amen.
All right, I'm going to ask if you'll just join yourselves in a circle here, please. And I'm going to ask as many in the congregation that would like to do so, if you just want to come down here and just lay hands on these men. Anybody out there that would feel inclined to so do, just come down and lay hands on this board, and we'll set them apart when we get in here with you. Just come down. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. The choir, if they will come now and minister to us in song, minister the morning anthem. Hallelujah. Oh, I like that, don't you? I hope you'll do that again soon. I like that. Oh, that's good. That is good. Praise God. Jesus, thou art love. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, that's good. That is so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, either get in there with me or just wait patiently for me, one or the other. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 I want just want to make sure that you know that you're invited, you know, just to have some. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You just never know quite when the Spirit of God is going to settle on you. You notice as we were, it's interesting to me as I minister Sunday after Sunday and just seeing the Spirit of God ministering to people in the congregation. And as we were here this morning installing elders and ordaining Jimbo, and I could see the Holy Spirit just on one and then another and then another. And at different times during the services, you know, sometimes it'll be during a hymn and the Spirit of God will just touch somebody. Sometimes it'll be during a prayer, the Holy Spirit will just touch you. While the message is being preached and the Spirit of God will touch you. While the choir is singing. Or sometimes when a message is coming in tongues or the interpretation, the Spirit of God. He's in this place today. Now he's here. See? He's here. Now you don't have to see him to know that he's here. Jesus said, you never saw the wind either. He said, you never saw the wind. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it goes, but you can sure feel the blow of it when it blows across you. And he said, so it is with the Holy Spirit and he that is born of the Spirit. You don't know where the Holy Spirit is coming from and you don't know where he's going, but you sure know he's in the place. Amen. Amen. And he's here today. And what I'd encourage you to do is if you've never sensed the presence of the Spirit of God. When you sense God's presence, you'll know it's God. You'll know it's God. There won't be any doubt about that. But what I urge you to do is as the Spirit of God touches you, you just yield to him. Just surrender to him. Don't fight him. Just yield to him. And just have fellowship and communion with him. Just praise him and worship him. Just yield to him. Don't struggle with him. Because I see the Spirit of God touching people and I see folks struggling with him. They don't know what to do. And then God's not able to minister. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy. Paul's first letter to Timothy. The 6th chapter. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I believe the Spirit of God wants to answer a question today for some people, maybe all of you, but a few particularly, that are trying to live according to faith, are trying, doing the best you know how to do, to believe the Word of God, stand upon it, act upon it, and receive from God in accordance with His Word. And not receiving, your faith is going down the tubes. And you don't know what's happening. And I wonder if maybe there are some that have been believing God for one of His promises, maybe for a long time, and it doesn't seem like anything is happening. It doesn't seem like the sickness is getting any better, even though Jesus said Himself took your infirmities and bear your diseases. Your husband doesn't look like he's any more saved today than he was 3 years ago, even though the Scripture says, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, ye shall be saved, ye and your house. You're still having trouble paying your bills, even though the Word of God says, no good thing will the Lord withhold from him that walketh uprightly before him. And in another place, the Word of God says that God delighteth in the prosperity of his servants. And in another place in the Word of God, it says, and my God shall supply all of your needs by his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But you still having trouble paying your bills. You're still having trouble living with an unsaved man. You're still having trouble dealing with your teenagers who are rebellious. They're not lined up with the Word of God yet. Why? There's still a sickness or a confusion or something that is troubling you. Why? Why, God? Why, God? Is this not right? 6th chapter, 1 Timothy, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Not lay down and let eternal life run over you. Lay hold on it. Reach out and get a hold of it, because you can lay there all your life and eternal life will not come to you. Whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now the Word of God says that we are to fight the good fight of faith. If you intend to live a life of faith, faith in God's Word, faith in God's Son, faith in God's promises, if you are bound to live a life based on faith, then you'd better be prepared to fight. If the life of faith did not involve a fight, Paul never would have said, fight the good fight of faith. He would have said, live the easy life of faith. He said, fight the good fight of faith. Now, this is where many believers miss it. They see in the Word of God all of these wonderful promises of God. Oh, what a wonderful Heavenly Father I have. I've just met Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've repented and turned away from my sins. I've invited Jesus, the Son of God, to come into my heart and to live His life in me. And when He came in, I started reading the Bible, and in there it says that He hath given us to partake of all good things, that He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, that He has been made unto us righteousness and sanctification and peace and redemption and all the rest of it, and all of the inheritance begins to become into our recreated human spirit. We say, I want that. Oh, glory to God, I want that. And then we begin to ask God for it. We say, Father, I see in Your Word where healing is the children's bread, and I'm Your child, and so now I want healing in my body. And it doesn't come right away, and then we must stand in faith until it does come. And that's when the fight needs to be waged. If you're not willing to fight, Jesus said that the enemy will come to steal the Word of God. The enemy will come and steal it out of your life so that it will not be made real in your life. You'll not have it in your life because it'll be stolen away. When the Holy Spirit says through the Apostle Paul that we are to fight the good fight of faith, He infers that there are enemies to our faith. There is somebody that wants to knock you off your faith. There's somebody that wants to get you to interfere with your receiving of your inheritance. Now, unfortunately, over many, many years, I think we've been taught so much about the sovereignty of God. And we've heard it said that God can do anything that He wants to do. Whatever He desires to do, He can just very well just go on and do it. And you don't fool with God. Que sera, sera. Whatsoever God wills, that's the way it is. You can't ever change anything because God's in total control. God's in charge, and if it be His will, then we get saved. Then we find out what belongs to us in the inheritance that belongs to the saints of God. And then we ask our Heavenly Father for healing. And then we ask Him for salvation for our loved ones. We ask Him for the baptism in the Holy Ghost. We ask for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We read where Paul says, covet the best gifts. And so we ask our Father, we say, Father, I want the gift of faith operating in my life. I want to be able to prophesy in the assembly. I want the working of miracles to be operative in my life and in my ministry. I want to be able to prophesy and to deliver the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. But then, when it does not come right away, we say, well, I guess God's sovereign. I guess it's just not His will. I must have missed it in there somewhere. It's just not His will to heal me. It's not His will to prosper me. It's not His will to save my loved ones. It's not His will to have me minister in the supernatural gifts of the Holy Ghost. And we begin then to base our believing on our experience rather than on the Word of God. And you know what you'll have when you base your believing on your experience? You will have more of the same experience. And if you are presently sick and you're basing your faith on your present experience, you'll continue to be sick. If you are presently in poverty and you base your faith on your present experience, you will continue to remain in poverty. And if you have unsaved relatives and loved ones and you are basing your faith in the Word of God on what you see with your eyes and hear with your ears and what you're receiving in your present experience, you're going to get more of the same kind of experience, which is unsaved relatives and unsaved loved ones. You will never, ever rise above the level of your experience if you base your believing on what you experience. You must base it on the Word of God. Then you'll have the Word of God. I would rather have 90% of all of the Word of God than I would 100% of my present experience. Amen? Amen. See? What God's got, 90% of what God's got is so much more than anything any of us have got now. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. Now, turn back to the book of Joshua. And this is where we really get down to business, I think. In Joshua. You know, so many of God's people don't receive much out of the Old Testament. Many Christians don't read much in the Old Testament. But boy, I'll tell you, if you want to understand what's happening to you today, you go back and read how God dealt with the children of Israel. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The way He dealt with the children of Israel is the same way He's dealing with us. And these Old Testament stories are meant as types of what's happening to us today. Now, I want us to read out of the first chapter of the book of Joshua a few verses here, then we're going to talk about them. And then, if the Lord allows, we'll go on a little further in Joshua. And I want to make a point here that's very, I think, will kind of tie this all together. Joshua chapter 1, we're going to read beginning in the first verse. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Now I want you to see in the third verse that what God said to Joshua was, I have given unto you. He didn't say, I will give you the land. He said, I have given it to you. When did He give it? He gave it 40 years before, when He gave it to Moses, long time before, but the children would not enter in. God said to Joshua, I have already given you this land, even though not a single one of you have ever set foot on it. And the Word of God also says to you as children of God, I have already given you perfect healing in your bodies and in your minds, even though not a single one of you may be perfectly well. God says to the world full of sinners, I have already given you eternal life. I have given you salvation, even though you're lost. It belongs to you. Do you see it? I've given you prosperity, even though you don't have two nickels to rub together. I've already given it to you. And when did I give it to you? I gave it to you when Jesus Christ of Nazareth was crucified, dead, resurrected, and come out of the grave. That's when I gave it to you. I gave you total redemption in my Son, Jesus Christ. Even though you don't feel redeemed, look redeemed, act redeemed, or resemble redemption, you are redeemed. It's done. It's an accomplished fact. Just as this promised land belonged to the children of Israel, even though not a single one of them had ever set foot on it. And there were already others in the land who had possession of it. God said it belonged to them. Verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now listen. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, did you notice how many times in here God said to Joshua, be strong and be of a good courage? He said it in the 6th verse. He said it in the 7th verse. And he said it in the 9th verse. Now, don't you think it's kind of strange for God to say to Joshua, I've given you the land, it's flowing with milk and honey, but now be strong and be of a good courage. Be strong and be good courage. Be strong and have good courage and be not dismayed. Why do you suppose he'd say that? Because Joshua was only going to have as much as he would take, as much as he would lay hands on, lay hold of. And there were those that were going to stand in his way to try to stop him from taking any of it. Now, this story of Joshua and the children of Israel entering the promised land is a perfect type of you and me and the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus. Some people think that the promised land is a type of heaven, a land flowing with milk and honey. Yes, heaven is flowing with milk and honey, but there are no giants in heaven. There are no enemies in heaven. There are no thorns or briars in heaven. The promised land flowing with milk and honey in the Old Testament is a type of the Christian life. It's a type and a preview of what it means to be in Christ Jesus, that God gives unto us a land that is flowing with milk and honey. But we're only going to have as much of it as we will lay hold on and fight for. In the same way that Joshua and his people only had as much of the land as they would go in and put their feet down. Now, it is true that God was with them everywhere they went to drive their enemies out. But do you remember how they took Jericho? They fought for Jericho. Do you remember how they took the kingdoms of the 31 kings? They fought for those kingdoms. Over and over and over again, there were those that came against the children of Israel to stop them from taking over the land that God had given. But as they put their trust in God, as they fought, as they exerted strength and courage, they received the blessings of God. And so it is with you, and so it is with me, to fight the good fight of faith. It's too easy, way too easy, for our enemy, the devil, to knock many of us off of our faith. And if he can knock you off your faith, if he can knock you off the Word of God, if he can cause you to say, well, I don't believe it means that. Well, it didn't work for me in that situation. Well, I didn't understand that right, I guess, because I didn't get it. If the devil can cause you to begin talking like that, then you'll never get the land of promise. You will never have the answer to that prayer for which you're seeking God. Have I not commanded thee, God said, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now you just think back about us as a church. You remember what we had to do to possess this building? You remember what we had to do in order to get possession of this piece of property? How many times did the devil raise up obstacles? It seemed a weekly affair, didn't it? Every time we turn around, something was going wrong. Every time we turn around, there were evil tidings. No way you're ever going to get it, people said. But God spoke to us and he said, go over there and put your feet on that place and possess it. And we came in here and put our feet on the place and possessed it. And 2 weeks later, they were signing the note or signing the deed over. Hey? Hey? That's right. That's right. Because the children of God believed God and came. And it's the same. See, it's just like this. God's the same. He's the same. He's the same in your individual life as he is in the life of these people. He's the same in your individual life as he is in the life of the church. Now, each of us have a choice to make. Just as we do when we come to Jesus Christ in the act of salvation, we have a choice. We can say, well, no, I don't think so. Don't think the Word of God means that. I'm going to live the way I've been living. And when I die, I'll take my chances. Or we can say, no, I know I'm lost. I know my life's a mess. I'm not happy with my situation or my circumstances. I know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I want him to come into my heart and be my Savior. I'm going to stake my eternal future on him. And devil, get out of my way. I'm coming through. That's the way you get saved. If you're sick, you can say, well, I guess God didn't heal me. I'm still sick. Well, I guess that promise in the Word of God is not for me. I'm still sick. Well, I guess God didn't mean that. I'm still sick. Baloney! The Word of God says, what if nobody believe? Does that make the Word of God without effect? No, God forbid. Let every man be a liar, but let God be true. God, by His Holy Spirit, wants us to know this morning that this word is true. If you and if I will stand on this word, believing it, confessing it, acting upon it, we will have the results which are promised, and that is a fact. But if you refuse to fight, and if you decide I'm going to lay down, I'm about at the end of my rope, I can't go any further, I quit, then you can just lay there and wait for the steamroller to run you right over, because he will. And you know who I'm talking about. Now, God has given unto his people everything we need. But the choice is ours as to whether we're going to act upon it and stand upon it. Fight the good fight of faith, Paul encourages us. Stand fast. Don't be moved. Stand firm on the Word of God. Believe what he said, not on what the symptom says. Believe what he said, not on what the checkbook says. Believe what he said, not on what the rest of the family says. Believe what he said. and have what he says belongs to you. That's God's promise. And I want you to know that I am having it in my life. No matter how hard the fight is, I'll fight. I'm going to have it. And I'll not be discouraged because I know that the Lord my God goeth with me everywhere. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Fight the good fight of faith. It is a fight. It is a fight. Anybody that says to you that you're going to be able to walk by faith and it's going to be an easy walk, it's not Scripture. It's not Scripture. You've got to fight. You must be willing to fight. Now, if someone says you can walk the walk of faith and live victorious, that's the truth. Hallelujah. That's God's word. It's victory. See? It's victory. So let's encourage one another in the word of God. Let's believe God's word and encourage one another to fight the good fight of faith. And if necessary, help one another to fight it. That's scriptural too. And we need that from time to time. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us all of the weapons of our warfare. You have given unto us the hallowed name of Jesus, that matchless name of Jesus, at which every knee shall bow in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. You have given us the Holy Spirit as our helper in prayer as well as in warfare. You've given us the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and the balance of our armor. You have equipped us within and without with every good thing. And Father, it's our intent and purpose, and we put heaven and hell to notice today that we are fighting the good fight of faith, that we will have victory in every area of our life, that we will give no place to the devil at any place at all, that he has no place in us and will not give him place, that we yield ourselves unto Jesus Christ and unto him only, that we stand firmly and solidly on the word of God, for it's eternal and will never fail. We'll not plant ourselves on the things of this world, for we know that this world passes away. But we plant our faith in God's word, for we know that God's word will never pass away. We thank you, Father, that when you invited us to be born again, that there was a new birth to have. That when we came unto you in the name of Jesus, repentant of our sins and inviting and receiving Jesus into our hearts, that we were born again, just like your word says. I mean, it happened just like you said it would when we did what you said. We thank you, Father, that if there is a new birth, that there is also healing and prosperity and deliverance and blessing and all the rest in just the same way, elsewise you would not have invited us to partake. When you tell us there's a land of promise, we know that there is a land of promise. And when you say it flows with milk and honey, we know that it does flow with milk and honey. And we vow to fight any obstacle, any enemy, any demon that establishes himself against the children of God, will fight and be of good courage against him, using the weapons that you have given us so that we'll please you as we inherit that which you've provided for us. Father, it's our desire that not a single thing that you have provided would ever go to waste because we didn't care enough or were not willing to fight for that which is ours. Satan, I put you on notice today. We are having the best that God has provided for us in Jesus' name. We'll not have his second best. We'll not be driven off. We're having his very best by the grace and the power of God and by the anointing of his Holy Spirit. And there's nothing that you may do or try to do that will knock us off that. We'll have it in Jesus' name. And you tell the rest of your bunnies that. Glory be to God our Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And now, Father, let me just ask you this, that you said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As the Word has gone forth this morning, Father, I believe you to have ministered it to many hearts. I believe you to have taken this Word by the power of your Holy Spirit and ministered it to many people who are here in the congregation today. And Father, I just want you to lead us now, Lord, in whatever you want us to do here. How you want the service to proceed or to conclude. If there's something special and individual and personal that you want to do here this morning, Father, by your Spirit, then we invite you to do it. We ask you just to lead us and to guide us. If there's a need here today, Father, that requires personal ministry, we ask that you'd reveal it.